Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Rick Meyer with Running on Faith Ministry. I hope you're having a wonderful day. It's a little cooler here in Texas this morning. I believe it's 35 degrees while we were out running this morning. Hope it's warmer where you are at, but I know that 35 degrees is plenty warm for some, especially those in the Northeast going through snow and all those types of things. I'm very thankful to have a little warmer chance. But anyway, just excited about today's show. Today's show, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit's guidance in business, or in Max International. The Holy Spirit's guidance in Max International is what I wrote my applied research paper on for seminary, which is the equivalent of a thesis. I just wanted to visit with you about that today. And before we begin, let's begin with a little prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this wonderful day, a day that you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us serve and worship you all day today. Let us seek your will and your ways, Lord, and ask that you would guide this show, guide my thoughts, my words, my heart, as well as the listeners, Lord. Let them hear the message that you intend for them in spite of myself, Lord. Just open up their hearts and minds to gain whatever I might say from you. Like I said, transform the message in spite of myself and enable them to hear the message that you desire for them to help them grow ever closer in their relationship with you. Or if there's someone who's not listening, or if there's someone who's listening but does not know you, does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as believer, we pray that it might draw them closer to knowing Jesus or knowing Jesus. And we realize that's all by your power, in your name, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. Sometimes I get to thinking and it's hard to speak. Well, anyway, this morning I'm going to talk about, like I said, the Holy Spirit's guidance in Max International, but really it applies to all business. And I want to begin by reading John 14, verse 16, and we're going to look at some of the 14th chapter here. We'll begin in John 14, verse 6. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, because he abides in you and will be in you. That's believers, that is. Going on to verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Now let's go on and go on to verse 25. This is John 14, verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I live with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now, I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he is nothing and has nothing in me. They're obviously talking about Satan. Going on to verse 31. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up, let us go from here. Then Jesus continues in chapter 15, saying, I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because the word which I have spoken to you, abide in me, and abide and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, chapter 15, verse 7 of John, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. And that gives us a little background. They're in today's reading. That gives us a little background on the Holy Spirit. He's sent by Jesus from the Father to be, and he's co-equal, co-eternal in terms of the Trinity, but he's sent to be our helper, or sent to be our comforter. The paraclete is another word that's used. Well, with that, a little background on the Holy Spirit in terms of Scripture, that's always where we want to base our discussions. We want to base our thoughts, our discussions, everything that we do, say and do, we want it to be based in Scripture. So with that, we're going to go ahead and move on to this project I was visiting about. I'm just going to share it with you, and hopefully it'll help to you, and hope you're having a wonderful day. I began the volume and speed of worldwide information and technology exponentially escalates, creating a tsunami effect upon the church, society, and business. This phenomenon provides greater opportunity for success as well as severity for failure. The faster one drives a vehicle on a curvy, obstacle-filled road, the more one relies on quick guidance. Would you agree with that? The only source of true guidance originates from the triune God. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, which we just read about in John 14 and 15, resides in every believer. An error-free guidance system's benefit exists only to the extent of the believer's ability to listen, discern, and respond to his guidance or promptings. Thus, this project we're looking at, the Holy Spirit's guidance in business, or in this specific case, Max International, which is a phenomenal company. And you can learn more about that by going to my website, Rick E. Meyer, M-E-Y-E-R, R-I-C-K, the letter E, M-E-Y-E-R.com, going to the online store, scrolling near the bottom, and then you can click on Glutathione, and it'll take you to the Max website to learn more about that. And this project that we're examining now, you know, will impact you of obedience, will examine the impact of obedience and disobedience to the Holy Spirit on business associates as well as business leaders of any business. To what extent, if any, do the consequences of disobedience vary depending upon whether unintentional or intentional. We'll also, throughout this discussion, investigate their methods of verifying non-audible guidance or promptings of the Holy Spirit, as opposed to selfish and deceitful non-audible inner voices or promptings. For example, in 1935, my grandpa Kenneth, my grandpa Carr, stopped his farm equipment on the land along the Republican River. It was just 1 mile south in a small town in Nebraska. It's a small town of Bloomington. His head swiveled west in response to the thundering roar. An unforgiving, unstoppable eight-foot wall of water carrying trees, soil, home, barns, and possibly bodies of livestock and people loomed in the distance off to the west, coming east towards him. He quickly directed his equipment to the high safe ground. He then rescued another farmer and his horses along the river bottom, assuring their safety and made sure they were able to stay alive. Emily, she anxiously watched her husband of less than a year. They were married in August of 34 from a house on higher ground. She was up on the hill, but she could look down over the valley and see all this happening. Can you imagine seeing one of your loved ones down there, whether it be your spouse, your child, or whoever it might be, but somebody you care deeply about? You see them down there on the river bottom rescuing others, and you see this eight-foot wall of water in the distance coming, carrying all sorts of debris and for all we know, bodies. Unfortunately, I know that sounds like an oxymoron, reports on the radio warned of those impending floodwaters on Republican Valley and the southern Nebraska resulting from heavy rains in eastern Colorado and western Nebraska. So the radio, this was 1935, the radio was warning, saying, hey, we have a lot of floodwaters, get up on higher ground, leave your houses. If you have time to get your livestock, get them out of there. You need to get on higher ground. Unfortunately, a lot of people ignored those warnings. Similarly, in the Bible, God warns us that there is a judgment day coming. He will come again, and whether we're on this earth when he comes again or not, either way, we'll all face a judgment day, won't we? And some of us, despite the warnings in the Bible, we ignore that. And what I mean by that is whether we're here for the second coming or whether we die, we're all going to face him, whether we face the physical death first or whether we face him when he comes. Either way, we have to face him, and so we need to take those warnings, just like the parables, making sure your lamp has oil. And unfortunately, people ignore warnings of weather today, too. Consequently, because of these warnings, my grandpa and others prayed and positioned themselves and their families in or near safety with the Holy Spirit's guidance. Some, like I said, some ignored warnings and they perished. I'm sad but true, they perished. And unfortunately, those that ignore the warnings of the Holy Spirit, those that ignore the warnings of Scripture, unfortunately, they'll perish. But all we can do is share it with them and share Scripture and trust that they do heed the warnings. They do believe. And Grandpa and Grandma Cars continued seeking the Holy Spirit's guidance until their physical deaths in the mid-90s and mid-2000s. The remainder of this life, Grandpa, he did not allow a single tractor to be left on the river bottom overnight due to the potential flooding. Even all up the way to his death 60 years later, a little over 60 years later, he wanted to make sure nothing was left on the river bottom overnight, other than, I mean, there was livestock that fed on the corn stalks, but he did not want a tractor left on the river bottom because he recognized that we could have huge flooding overnight and it comes so quickly. Grandpa and Grandma survived grasshopper plagues, dust bowls, the depression with newlyweds in the 1930s, followed by the rationing of some farm supplies and groceries during World War II. Talking about grasshoppers, Grandpa talked about a particular time that he was out using a pitchfork on hay. And it came time for dinner, which is the noon meal, and he went in, ate dinner, and came back out, and his pitchfork handle was gone. The salt from his hands saturated into the pitchfork handle. The grasshoppers were looking for anything to eat amidst the dust bowl, and they chewed up his pitchfork handle. And there were several factors there. One is he had to get a pitchfork handle, and also there's two factors there. One, pitchfork handles were tough to come by, as were most things during those days, and two, money was very scarce. And when Grandpa and Grandma were married in the 1930s, they lived with my great-grandparents, similar to the Waltons, who also vigorously prayed for God's provision and guidance. Excuse me. God provided them, and my Grandpa and Grandma had six children, so it was my mom and her five other siblings, my Grandpa and Grandma, and my great-grandparents. Like I said, it was just like a Waltons. My great-grandmother regularly listened to and watched Billy Graham's crusades coming from the beginning. In fact, she prayed that one of her descendants would enter the ministry. And so I was one of her descendants. I obviously completed ministry at Dallas Theological Seminary and writing a paper recognizing and responding to the Holy Spirit's guidance in business. And ironically, or coincidentally, however you want to look at it, the professor that graded this paper, the professor that served as the primary reader for this paper, is a close friend of the Grahams, Dr. Burns. Him and his wife have known the Grahams for many years. And God's guidance certainly radiates in this circumstantial thread. This exponentially increasing volume and speed of worldwide information and technology, doesn't it resemble an 8-foot wall of water impending upon the church, society, and business? I think it does. I mean, we can see it coming, but are we acting on it? Will we heed warnings and guidance necessary for survival? Or will we ignore the warnings and perish? Are you heeding the warnings in your life? Whether that's spiritual warnings, physical warnings, your health, whether it be relationship warnings in your business, with your spouse, with your kids, with other friends or close relatives. Something to think about for each of us, isn't it? It's a rhetorical question. Are you heeding and acknowledging the warnings in your life? Just as those who ignored the warnings of the flood perished, would you agree that you and I may also perish if we ignore the warnings, whether it's physical, relational, or spiritual in our life? Let's ponder on that for a while. Going on, would you agree that the faster one drives a vehicle on curvy, obstacle-filled roads, the more we do rely on quick guidance? And we know that the Holy Spirit is the only one that does provide that guidance. And that's the purpose of this research project, is looking at this guidance. And like I said, I wrote specifically about Max International, a company located in Salt Lake City, and Stephen K. Scott, just a phenomenal individual. He co-founded Max International. It's called Max, but not Max International. He also previously co-founded the American Telecast Corporation, Total Gym Fitness. Do you remember the old commercials with Chuck Norris and Christy Brinkley? And Chuck Norris has endorsed Max International and all their products, as well as other numerous companies. Max International, just to give you a little bit of background, produces and distributes various health products, including Cellgevity. And Cellgevity is the one that gives us intracellular glutathione, which we need very badly. And two of the world's top physicians engineered the glutathione enhancement product that benefits the consumer through reducing inflammation and serving as a powerful antioxidant. Also, Mr. Scott, Stephen K. Scott, is a New York Times bestselling author of 7 books. Some of his books include Mentored by a Millionaire, The Richest Man Who Ever Lived, The Greatest Words Ever Spoken, The Greatest Man Who Ever Lived, and The Jesus Mission. So you have The Richest Man Who Ever Lived and The Greatest Man Who Ever Lived and The Jesus Mission. Yeah. Mr. Scott also includes a Bible study open to all attendees following meetings and conferences with business leaders, which I think is very important. Do you do that in your business? Do you do that with your family? Do you include a Bible study? Are you afraid what they'll think? Sometimes we are, aren't we? Yet if we know that God created everything, including everything that goes into your products and services, if we know that he created you, and if you have a spouse or your kids or your friends, if you know he created everything, and you want to serve and love him always, doesn't it make sense that we study his word in business? There's topics in these Bible studies include mapping the Holy Spirit's calling. During a dinner conversation I had with Stephen K. Scott 2 years ago, February 2012, he shared that he frequently falls asleep listening to the New Testament on a smartphone. My mentor, Charles Gibbs, and Charles's mentor, Gary Bogus, who I visit with also, are Max businessmen. Both have built numerous successful business and relationship and marketing and other sectors. These businesses have and do serve as a catalyst for leading many to believe in Christ as their Savior. Does your business, does your professional life serve as a catalyst for leading others to Christ as their Savior? In business, does your life reflect Christ? Are you living in the life, in the image of Christ to the best of your ability in your business? Are you walking in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, in your business, in your relationship with your family, whatever level of family that is, with your business associates, vendors, customers, employees? Are you seeking to glorify and edify and share Christ and share the gospel of Christ in your business? If not, why not? As Christians, we know that Jesus is the only way to the Father. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And if we truly love other people, don't we want to make sure that they're believers? Just something to think about. And if you don't care, why not? Are you afraid that mentioning the manufacturer, the producer, the creator of everything will turn off your clients? Suppose I have a small company, and but yet I receive my products from a larger parent company. What would that say to that parent company if I were ashamed to share the parent company with the employees? In other words, I didn't want my customers to know about my parent company with whom I received all the resources because I was afraid the customers might not like the parent company. Well, one is, it would say I didn't have a lot of faith in the parent company, wouldn't it? And if the customers don't like it, then there's probably something wrong, either with the parent company or with the customers. In this case, God, who we should share about, he's the creator of everything, he's perfect, he's holy, so there's nothing wrong with him. So if anyone is turned off from God, it's not God, it's person. Just like if I'm turned off from God, if I'm turned off from Scripture, there's something wrong with me. And let me be clear, that's assuming that if we're going to walk in the image of God, if we're going to walk by His Spirit, that means that we truly do that. That means that we teach truth with love. That means we operate in gentleness, firmness, but gentleness. That means that we listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and we're constantly truly loving people, wanting the best, absolute best for them, the best described as the best for them in Christ. Additionally, in this business, current believers deepen their relationship with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I remember in the 1990s, I was over at a conference in Fort Worth, and their speaker and author, Dennis Peacock. Dennis Waitley spoke there too, but this speaker and author was Dennis Peacock. He spoke of the significance of marketplace ministry. He spoke about taking the church to businessmen and women instead of hoping for them to enter church's door. You know, would you agree when we think about it, Jesus and disciples representing the early church actively engaged in marketplace ministry? Yes, they did, didn't they? Think about Paul going on his three missionaries journeys, and Silas and Barnabas, and like I said, Jesus and disciples. They were actively engaged in marketplace ministry. Let me be clear, this does not diminish the church. Rather, we continue to edify and uplift the church, but rather we're just making sure that we don't limit ourselves to only the church. In terms of the physical church, I'm talking about the larger church, but in terms of the physical church, we don't limit ourselves just to that door. Rather, we're sharing the gospel in everywhere, everything. So let's go on and just take a look at, you know, a little more look at the Holy Spirit and how does the Bible describe the Holy Spirit. One of the words that the Bible does use is pneuma, which means breath of life. It's P-N-E-U-M-A, or rock, which is the presence of energy and activity, and parakletos, which is another word for paraclete, which is a combination of the two words, para and kaleo. Para means alongside, and kaleo means to call, so alongside to call. The Holy Spirit remains alive and active in believers. We read that in John 14. We also see it in Acts 1:38, including convicting sin and evoking vision. We visited about that the other day with imagination. It convicts our sins and evokes vision. I don't know about you, but I readily admit that some biblical professors question the validity of assigning God's voice to only the Holy Spirit instead of possibly Lord Jesus Christ or God the Father. And this paper's position views the voice originating from the Holy Spirit. As Dr. Burns says, it is always the voice of the Spirit and the Word that we hear when we sense direction from God. This is his role as paraclete described in John 14-16. His voice can take many forms. We are not judges to what is valid or not, but it will be in accord with the Word and will necessarily involve servant, service, leadership. So it will necessarily involve being a servant in service, and will always be in accord and correlate with the Word, will always be in agreement with the Word and God's character. Let's look at some questions to consider as we go through this. How do leaders recognize, listen, respond, and share this guidance? How do you recognize, listen, and respond to the guidance of the Holy Spirit? How do you know his non-audible voice? John 10:27. Is the guidance received audibly in the heart, mind, or soul? Does God speak to us through other people? Does God speak to us through physical events and/or circumstances? Are we accountable to the Holy Spirit for the above discernment and actions? What, if any, benefits reside in disobedience? What, if any, penalties result from disobedience? Project we're looking at examines the impact of, you know, like I said, the obedience and disobedience of the Holy Spirit on Max International leaders, as well as your business. Once again, what are the consequences? And how do we verify the voice of the Holy Spirit as opposed to selfish and deceitful voices? If you would, allow me to give a personal example. As an 8-year-old in 1975, I received a vision for 5 major lifetime goals. I stood out by the old windmill tower on a farm. It was roughly halfway in between our house and our barn, set up on just a little bit of a hill, not much, just a little bit of a slope. And I stood out there, and I'm still not sure why, but as an eight-year-old, I had a vision of 5 major lifetime goals. Some people, I shared these goals with several people. Some just suggested I get a reality check, kid. That was a quote. Get a reality check, kid. As well as one lady, she just laughed hysterically right in my face. Of the 5 goals, I've achieved 4 of them, and currently working on the 5th. It remains in progress. This Holy Spirit-inspired vision to an 8-year-old farm boy defies human ability and reason, resulting in truth and peace. Some people say, that's not possible. Well, truth is independent of agreement. Independent of agreement. And those that disagree, they really don't have any basis other than just simply their opinion. They like to disagree. And they try to limit their belief is constrained within their small mind. We sometimes run into that. And that's why it's continually important to be in prayer and in the Bible, in Scripture. So we open up our mind to the Lord, and we fail to limit our beliefs or limit our possibilities. We fail to limit God's power to just these restrictions of our small mind or small thinking process. The key rests in differentiating his guidance from the promptings of self, Satan, and his demons. And we'll talk about, speak about in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, which we've mentioned several times on this show. I'm a firm believer in being a leader servant. Max International's relationship model requires being a leader servant for optimizing success. And we learn a little more about that in Mark 9:35. As opposed to only secular success defined strictly by abstract numbers and money. The leader servant defines servant as a phrase of subject. So servant is the subject, identifying our objective of serving Christ and his people. Additionally, the adjective leader describes a subject servant. The leader servant yearns for the Holy Spirit's guidance in serving and glorifying God. Walking in the Spirit commands we recognize God as our only leader. Servants joyfully acknowledge all glory belongs to God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Now, true success glorifies only God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. Even when man commits inadvertent errors, he still receives glory as long as we seek his heart. Even when man commits inadvertent errors, he still receives glory. And we can look at this in Matthew 6:33, 22-37, 39, and John 14:13. And I realize these numbers are always hard to listen to. I shouldn't say always, but sometimes. Men and women recognizing, listening, responding, and sharing the Holy Spirit's guidance and vision serve with God's love. Denying self during specific moments such as business meetings, conferences, whenever with other business associates. For example, my mentor Charles Gibbs shares that he strives to serve more than anyone else while attending business meetings. He wants to be the greatest servant in the room, focusing his awareness on others' needs. The purpose of comparison resides strictly in maximizing his serving others. So he simply wants to serve others to the best of his ability. He avoids considering the price of leadership and serving, rather considers serving others a privilege and honor of serving God. He looks at serving others as a privilege and honor of serving God. Charles diligently prays before these meetings. Are you praying before your meetings and before entering the marketplace? Asking God to prompt and guide all interactions to glorify God. Do you diligently pray before entering meetings in the marketplace, before entering your office, before entering a conference call, a phone call, a meeting, an appointment, an interview? Do you diligently pray, asking God to prompt and guide all interactions to glorify God? Or if you do pray, do you pray for selfish reasons? I sometimes do. I'm ashamed to admit, but it's true. This includes the full gamut from only just a simple meeting. Do you know that you can impact people on the radio? Do you know that you can impact people by meeting them in the elevator, at the water fountain, going down the hall, or in traffic? Yeah, we can impact people, wherever we're at, as well as an in-depth conversation or the absence of dialogue. And sometimes the Lord just has us be quiet, and does that just what the person needs at that time? Charles inquires the how and what from the Lord while avoiding analyze the why. Would you agree sometimes that's a challenge? We want to know why. Why? We're like little kids. Why? 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 Rather than just say, okay, Lord, how do you want me to do it? What do you want me to do? And your wisdom is far above mine. I don't need to know the why. I'd like to know the why, but I don't need to know the why because I'm doing it for you and I'm trusting you. And Charles continues saying, analyze the results and overthinking, hesitation, delay, and reduced performance. Thus, analyzing reduces serving. So the more we worry about the why, the less we serve, the less effective our serving is. Through personal interviews, this project that I'm visiting with you about investigated and considers how other Max International associates, as well as just business leaders in general, respond to the Holy Spirit. This obedience to prayer provides the foundation for recognizing, responding, and sharing the Holy Spirit's guidance and vision. We then must calibrate our heart, mind, and soul to assure proper understanding and response to his guidance. We'll discuss how max business leaders achieve this calibration. Here again, this applies to all business leaders. Proper calibration enables discerning God's guidance, our own thoughts, and the enemy's promptings. This discernment differentiates optimal success of pleasing God versus either complete failure or apparent secular success. The latter, that is, secular success, may ultimately destroy our relationship with God, business associates, friends, and family. Additionally, secular success seeks glorification of men and women instead of God. Secular success seeks glorification of the men and women instead of God. Who do you seek to glorify? Whose praise do you seek? That of men and women? Your boss, coworkers, friends, relatives, employees, vendors? Or do you seek only the approval of God? That's a challenge in our world, isn't it? Something I have to continually remind myself and work on. What about you? And in here, we examine whether leaders harmonious with the Holy Spirit consider their price of leadership. Does dwelling on our financial, physical, and emotional cost increase or decrease our effectiveness in serving God? Additionally, we delve into previous publications regarding hearing and responding to God's voice. We also include information acquired through interviewing a few other business leaders that are not in the Max International business. So this is, like, once again, this applies to all business leaders. We correlate principles and procedures of all sources, and we'll discuss them along with any contradicting principles and factors among the publications interviewees. Briefly evaluate possible contradictions, as well as further explain what most likely will reveal parallel principles operating within different contexts. The ultimate goal of this project, the ultimate goal of this discussion, includes expanding depth and breadth of calibrating our heart, mind, and soul in resulting in response to God's guidance or prompting. So in other words, we want to become even better at responding to God so that we can serve him even better. And that we don't earn anything. We do that because he loves us and we love him. He loves us first, we love him. And once again, we don't earn anything from him. The goals include acquiring a greater understanding of the foundation and practice of Max leaders, but also all business leaders and marketplace ministry. The results of the study that we're talking about enhance my business development and marketplace ministry, and I've received other tremendous feedback from those who have read this paper. Would you like to have your business development and marketplace ministry enhanced? And if you're still wondering about marketplace ministry, what's your question? Are you ashamed of the gospel? I'm asking that rhetorically because I don't know. What is your hesitation? What is your hesitation? Really be in the Word and pray about that. Did Paul hesitate to share the gospel in fear that it might hurt his tent business? Did Peter and John and the fishermen, did they hesitate to share the gospel in fear that it might hurt their fishing business? Consider that. Ask yourself if you're open to sharing the gospel in your work with love and gentleness and all the other fruit of the Spirit in your workplace. And going on here, sometimes there's controversy. One of the things that holds us back is there's controversy regarding promptings of the Holy Spirit. There are some churches who fail to recognize the entire Trinity, or at least we don't hear about it. Some churches are almost monotheistic, which means just they only recognize one God instead of, well, obviously the Trinity is one God, three persons, but what I mean by that is, if I should restate my statement, there's some good English. What I mean by that is they only recognize one person of the Trinity. Some churches only talk about God the Father. Some churches, and by churches I'm talking about a physical location, some churches only talk about Jesus Christ the Son, and some churches for the most part only talk about the Holy Spirit. And each of those are important because God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are co-equal, co-eternal God, three persons, one God. So it's so vital that we include the entire Trinity when we talk about God. And like I said, a person in the work of the Holy Spirit continues to be an area of controversy among Christians. Acknowledging communication of the Holy Spirit, it occasionally creates controversy in the marketplace as well as the claim Christian athletic organizations. In fact, a national board member and employee of one particular Christian athletic association, they like to do a lot of fellowship. They've expressed their disconnect with the Holy Spirit in terms of recognizing Him as a member of the Trinity, or recognizing His involvement in our life. They may recognize Him as a member of the Trinity, but they fail to recognize His active involvement of our life. However, I'm continually relying on the Holy Spirit in business and in speaking. How about you? Do you rely on the Holy Spirit in your business? I know I keep asking this, but I really want you to think about that. Do you ask Him to guide your heart, your mind, your thoughts, and your words? For instance, oftentimes when I speak, I may have something come to my mind that I had no intention of saying, and whether it be one of the attendees or the meeting planners or whoever it might be, comes up and says, that is exactly what I needed to hear. And that which they really needed to hear was the part that I had no intention of sharing. It wasn't that I was ashamed of it, but I just didn't plan on sharing it. And then during the presentation, seemingly at the tip of a lightning bolt, all of a sudden, boom, it'll just come to me and I'll share it. And that's what they needed to hear. And after receiving these referral letters and letters thanking me for that, after receiving these, and here again I'm giving all the credit to God, the frequent communication with these athletic organizations, you know, surprises me. They do not want to, and what I mean by that is once they know that a business person relies on the Holy Spirit in business or in athletics, some people will cut off communication because they just have a hard time understanding it. And we don't say that to condemn them, but to rather to love them and help them understand the Holy Spirit and the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and as well as relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ and the entire Trinity. So we're never putting anybody down, but rather lifting them up in love. And we're all maturing at different rates. I know I'm continually maturing. There's areas that, you know, other people are more mature in than I am. So I am continually growing myself. So I want to say this in full humility, knowing that I have a long way to go, as we all do. So, and, you know, why do some Christians deny communal relationship with the Holy Spirit? Like I said, you know, one time I probably did too. I had a hard time giving validity to God's promptings, and it cost me opportunities. When discussing the validity of God's, of hearing God's voice, some of us seek first to criticize rather than seek understanding. And we certainly want to avoid that. We want to avoid criticism. My former hesitations of conversing with God of creation originated from believing the old adage, if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. Well, if there's ever anything that seems too good to be true, but if there's ever anything that seems too good to be true, it's the salvation through Jesus Christ, belief in Jesus Christ. But we know that is true. We can believe it. Hearing God begins with us accepting our worthiness to communicate with Him because of Christ's redemptive work on the cross for us, and His sending the Holy Spirit to dwell in every believer. This acknowledgement then directs our focus to attentively discern and understand the message, resulting in our immediate obedient response. Do differing patterns of praying and patiently staying alert distinguish those who communicate with the Holy Spirit and those who deny the existence of this communication? Do other distinguishing beliefs and practices demarcate the two groups? Spiritual maturity now enables my regular communication with the Holy Spirit. How about you? Without communal relationship or receiving guidance from the Holy Spirit, how do we explain fruits of the Spirit, conviction of sin, belief in Christ's death and resurrection, and the forgiveness of sin? Those are some good questions, aren't they? And we're nearing the end of today's show, and it's been so fun visiting with you about this, and we'll continue this discussion. However, like I said, this book, The Holy Spirit's Guidance in Max International, which does apply to all business leaders, I have several printed, numerous printed editions, and one's in the library, seminary library, as everybody that writes that type of paper. And I would like to send you a free copy, and I'm going to do that for anybody that goes to my website, rickemeyer.com, rickemeyer.com. And on the homepage, you can make another click, and if you choose, if the Spirit guides you to make a donation to this ministry, I would love to send you a free copy of this paper. It's about 50 pages, and I'd love to send you a free copy of it for anybody that makes a donation to the ministry, as just to thank you. But once again, I let it be God guiding you to make a donation if you choose to. It's been a wonderful day. We just pray that you continue to rest in God's peace and love and rely on the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Holy Spirit, sent by Jesus from the Father, the Helper, the Comforter, so that it may give a peace in your heart. And let us walk in the Spirit and give us fruit of the Spirit. And just ask that God guide you in everything you think, say, and do, in all of your interactions of when to be silent and what to say and how to say it the rest of today, the rest of the week. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Once again, this is Rick Meyer with Running on Faith Ministry, emeyer.com. God bless.